What is up?
Guys, how you doing? Man, I was at the carnival last night and watched some lawnmower racing. I think you can only find that in Galax, I guess. I don't know. I can't wait to go back and tell all my friends at college, like, you will never believe this. I got some video footage and everything. But we're going to stand up and worship this morning. We're going to teach you some new songs this morning, and this one goes like this.
The first song that we do is kind of our wake-up song on Sunday morning. So I hope you guys are awake, and we're glad to have you here at Cornerstone with us this morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Again, just another beautiful weekend with weather-wise. If you're joining us for the first time, we do ask that you fill out one of those communication cards in the back of your seat. It helps us to get to know you a little bit. And there's places on there you can find out some more information about Cornerstone as well. When you came in, you got a worship guide, too, and it's got a lot of announcements, lots of things going on. There's a couple ways you can stay up to date throughout the week. You can go to our website, and you can check on the upcoming events, and it lists everything. It's got details, times, all the info is on our website. Also, our church app, we've got a little like app on Android and iOS that you can kind of download and have our news and all the info and sermons and everything on that as well. But there's a few announcements this morning. We do have youth tonight. We do have another a life group kind of starting up for the summer for on Sunday mornings. We've got our Servolution life group that's serving the community. They're going to be doing some stuff for the 4th of July parade, and they're taking up some donations of water bottles so we can give out to the full, that is. It doesn't say that, but yeah, I guess y'all assume they need to be full. So that we can give out to people. Yeah, full of water. Yes, let's be very clear there. Preschool, they're doing a movie night. We've got a Cornerstone girl. The boys had a camp out this past Friday, and it was a camp out, but none of the boys spent the night. So it was interesting. It was a great time though. They ended up, a bunch of the boys had a swim meet the next morning, so they just stayed until it got dark and had a ton of fun. I'll have to show you some pictures from that sometime because they had a blast. So, but the girls have their turn now. They're having a sleepover coming up. And just a reminder, we're not doing our first Wednesday services during the summer. We'll pick back up in September. So lots of things going on. And this morning, we finish up our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been here for 12 weeks now. We've got two verses left. So this morning is kind of the wrap-up message about that. It also is special this morning because you'll be hearing about our mission trip to Nicaragua. So you'll get to hear, we've got some videos, pictures, slideshows. Some of the team members will be sharing about the trip as well. So it really is a little bit of a different service, an unusual service, but it's going to be a good one. So I'm glad you're here with us this morning. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer as we get started this morning? We won't say how old, but well, happy birthday, Claudia. Y'all are truly a special and blessed couple. A great example to all of us. So happy birthday. Any other announcements before we pray? Anything else? We all good? Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to be in your house this morning. May we come to you in worship. May we come to you and lift up your name through song and through the word and through sharing and testimonies about the work that you are doing in our lives and the work you're doing through this church. Lord, this morning, may we just open up our hearts to be able to listen to your voice, to be able to experience your presence here in this place. Lord, we thank you for your blessings and we thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, so you guys noticed the cross up here this morning? It's a cool story about that. I was here Wednesday night this week. I spent a lot of time at the church just playing around and playing music and stuff. But Wednesday night I was here, and I was trying to think of like what songs that we could play, and I was praying about it and just thinking. And the Lord kind of put a song on my heart that we'll sing later, but also, I kept on noticing the cross. It usually sits over there, and I've been here so much, and the cross, I mean, it's been there. It's just two pieces of wood. That's all it is, but it's over there, and I've never really paid that much attention to it, but for some reason, Wednesday or Thursday night, it just kept on, like, grabbing my attention, so I walked over to it, and it was kind of dark. I think it was nighttime, and I was like, well, this would kind of be a cool decoration, you know, so I knew it was just going to be Abby and I on the stage. So I went over and I bent the cross down and I put it on my shoulder and I picked it up and it was really heavy. And I took it over to the step here and I brought it up and set it down. And I set it down and I was out of breath. And I'm like, you know, that cross can't be that heavy. Well, my first thought was like, man, I need to like work out or something. But my second thought was, you know, like, how in the world could a half-beaten human being carry that? And I don't know. It was a time of reflection and a time of, all I could do is just, like, try to hold in my tears and just thank God for his love and for what he did on the cross. You know, I joke because this is a symbol of the crucifixion, but it's also a symbol of the power of the resurrection. And there's not really a symbol of the resurrection. I think Glenn Dixon and I would like to think that it's like a plane, you know, because like resurrection, because I'm a pilot. That was a bad joke. But anyway, we're going to sing one of my favorite songs. It's called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And you guys can sit or stand or whatever. I don't care. I'm going to sit. She's going to stand. She's more extroverted than me, and I'm more introverted. So I always tell people this. I've been a part of a lot of corporate worship, which just means like church services and stuff. I go to Liberty. It's a Christian school, so we have a lot of that. And I found out that the way that I'm most engaged with the Lord during worship is just I put my elbows on my knees and my face in my hands like this, and I just close my eyes, and that's me, and that's how I worship. But like, Darla, I mean, you're going to be, like, dancing around, man. So, and Abby's more outward. It's not about, like, I wish I could be like, okay, put your hands in your head. But obviously that's not for everyone. But I want everyone to find that little niche, because even though there's so many different styles of worship, one thing across the border is true, is that if you're not willing to engage with God, he's probably not going to engage with you. So just be really reflective of these past couple or next songs. They're really just worshipful, and sing, or I don't care what you do, but just give God glory, and that's why we're here. So here we go. But I will
to come with all creation. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you for just the opportunity to gather together as a body of believers to worship you. And we thank you for the freedom that we have here in the United States to be able to do that without any kind of persecution. And I ask that you would just give us a heart of worship in our everyday lives. But Lord, especially this morning, that we could just lay off everything that we're thinking about apart from you, God, and that our focus would just be on who you are and what you've done in our lives, God, and that in return, we would worship you for that. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, you guys can be seated or whatever. She's going to read Psalms 91 here in a second, just the first two verses. And the whole psalm is just like recognizing that God is your protector and your shield, and just how he is the essence of might and power. And go ahead and read it.
It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Yeah, and it's a good psalm. You should read it this week, Psalm 91. But when I was here this week, I told you that the Lord put a song on my heart, and it just kind of came together. I wanted something that was easy for you guys to sing and worship to, and it's just a worshipful song, and it's a declaration of why we worship and why we love him. And I've gotten into philosophy since I've been at Liberty, and the main key of any philosophy is to know why you believe what you believe, right? It's like a bunch of premises, a bunch of steps, and you get to a final conclusion. And this song isn't really a deep song of philosophy, but it's a song that just proclaims who he is and why we love him. It's called We Will Worship You.
We will worship you.
this sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. The blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your atonement for our sins, God. Without you, we deserve nothing but hell. And we thank you for picking us up out of the pit, God. We worship you this morning, God. We worship you in song, praise, God. We worship you through prayer. We're going to worship you with video here. God, I pray that you would be pleased with our offering of worship. Amen.
Series for 12 weeks. We've covered a lot of ground about the Sermon on the Mount. You never know when you come to Cornerstone kind of what to expect, right? Some weeks we have the full band and we're just rocking it out. Some weeks we've even gone to, we call it worship grass. We got a little bluegrass in it. This morning's kind of just more of a little bit of a reflective time, but that's what I needed today. And I'm so thankful for Abby and Luke leading us in worship this morning. As many of you know, we just recently got back from a mission trip to Nicaragua. Cornerstone took our first trip to Nicaragua in July of 2007. So for the last 6 years, we've been sending teams of people to Nicaragua, to the same part of the country. And we've really developed a relationship with a missionary there and we've been working with him. And so we've got 6 years now of being able to see the change that has taken place. We've sent over 100 different people from Cornerstone to Nicaragua. So it's been very close to our hearts. And this morning, before I jump in and hit these last two verses, we want to share with you a little bit about the mission trip. Jennifer's going to come up kind of tell you a little bit more about the trip. We've got a video that you get to hear from some of the team members who aren't here this morning. Then we'll kind of close up after that. But you can go ahead and tell us a little more.
Like Mike said, there's going to be a video in just a minute that he worked on this week where each of the team members came in and did what we call our God moment. And while we're there, every evening we got together after dinner and talked about our God moment. And that was just something in that day that stood out to us, you know, that maybe God was doing in our life or that we had seen God do through, you know, something that was going on with our mission team. So that's what you're going to see is kind of the God moment of the week. He had everybody kind of pick one thing that stood out in their mind about the trip. So that's what the video is. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what we did. We left on June 1st, is that right? On Saturday morning, flew out of Raleigh-Durham, flew to Houston, then to Managua, Nicaragua, which is a city. It's the capital of Nicaragua, the only airport in the biggest city. There's about 7 million people in Nicaragua. About 3.5 million live in Managua. So it's, you know, heavily populated. We take a bus north of there, almost to the Honduras border, to a little place called Somatillo, Nicaragua, and that's where we do our mission work. And when the video's over, I'm going to have Luke and Abby and Emma come up and just share a few little pieces of the trip, just kind of what we did day to day. But before we left, we kind of did a couple meetings of training for our mission team, and we talked about how important it is to be flexible. And we got put to the test, like, from the get-go, because we got there on we arrived Saturday night late in Managua, spent the night in a hotel there, and then took our bus up to Somatillo. But that afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, once we got there, we're going to go to a village, and we take a big truck, and you'll see pictures of the big truck. And we got maybe a mile from the mission house on our way to a village, and there's this black smoke, like, rolling out of the back of the big truck that we're in. So we pull over, and I don't know, some kind of hose or something blew up. We got stopped on the side of the road. You know, there's 18 team members plus about 5 people from the mission team, and we have 2 little teeny tiny Toyota trucks to get us back and forth. So, you know, some of us have to wait. As soon as we stop, these kids from neighboring houses, they're not really villages, it's just kind of houses along the road, start running to the truck because they see Americans. And as soon as you see Americans, you know, the kids come. So there's probably 25 people gathered around, and we got put on the spot right there to be able to share the gospel with them. While we were waiting, some people jumped in the truck and went on back. And while we're waiting for the truck to come back and get the rest of us, we played a little bit of soccer. We're able to share the gospel with them. And then the guy that leads our mission trip, Don, he said, "Okay, tomorrow, this lady right here," and like points at me, "will be back with a big bunch of Bibles. Y'all come back." So they did. We drove by. We stopped on Monday. We had a box of Spanish Bibles, and we got out. And as soon as we stopped, they were right back, and we got to give them the Word of God, put that in their hands. So it was really neat. We shared the gospel and got Bibles to those people that we weren't expecting to. And pretty much the whole week goes like that. You never know what you're going to expect. Some of the schools we went to were closed for a teacher work day. You know, just things like that that you never know. But God always put the right opportunity in our path. So with that, I'm going to let the video play and let you see some of the God moments that we were able to have together as a team.
All right, on my trip to Nicaragua, I was super scared, never been on a plane, had been denying this trip for about 5 years. And finally, I just felt God tugging on my heart, and it finally just, I had to put my trust in Him and had to go. Well, overall, my God moment there was probably all the people, whether it was the kids or the adults, you just see a joy and a humbleness about them. The kids were probably my favorite because they just wanted to play with you, and the smallest things just completely amazed them, whether it was painting their nails or giving them a coloring book or just playing a game with them. And there was that barrier of language, but that didn't matter. They still wanted to talk to you. And then with the adults, you know, some of them, it was just a amazing to see how they lived, yet they had so much joy in their lives. And personally for me, this trip was just really amazing, and I got to really have my eyes open to the mission world outside of the States, and it gave me a love for it, and it was just a really great experience.
My favorite part of the week was getting to play with the kids in the villages, whether we were painting their fingernails or coloring with them or playing soccer with them. I just like seeing them smile and laugh and have a good time.
Okay, my God moment when I was on Nicaragua, to me, it was a life-changing experience, especially for my daughter, her being 8 years old, her getting to experience the community out there, and how it seemed like all the families were very close. So out here when we got back, I felt a little bit more confident, you know, about my faith and sharing the gospel with others. And so it made me feel better in the long run. I know it's going to be, you know, beneficial to people that maybe don't have faith. You know, they can approach me and I could share my God moment, which was, I believe my testimony is strong enough to, you know, to turn people to maybe reaching out for their own faith, you know. So sharing the gospel with people that may have had, you know, addicted to drugs, you know, maybe a bad upbringing, you know, alcoholism. I could relate with them, you know, so I felt like reaching out to people about my age, maybe they don't have direction. I was hoping maybe I could make an impact in their lives to come out to church, you know, and join us in prayers and join us in meet new people. And so yeah, that's my God moment, you know. That's what I got out of this trip.
I'm Dalton, and my favorite part about the trip to Nicaragua was feeding the people, seeing how happy it made them, and seeing how blessed we were.
On the last day that we were in Nicaragua, we were able to visit a village, and in that village, I got to talk to a group of young teenage girls, and while we were talking with them, they were trying to use their English that they had been learning in school, so it was kind of a neat opportunity for me to be able to try to try out my Spanish while they tried out their English, and they were really interested in trying to speak to us, so I had a Bible that we had taken with us that was a Spanish-English translation that was side by side. So I asked them, the girl that I was speaking with, if she would like to have this Bible that had Spanish and English in it. I said, that way you can study the Bible and also learn a little bit more about English. And she seemed very excited. And I was able to ask her if she had heard the story of Jesus and what he had done for us on the cross. And she said she had. And then I was able to ask her, had she ever made a commitment to follow Christ? And she said no. So I showed her some scripture out of the Gospel of John and just told her to read that in Spanish and read it in English and just let it speak to her. So that's been my prayer since we got back, that she's been doing that. She's been reading her Bible and not only learning English, but also learning what Christ did for her.
I had a non-typical experience while in Nicaragua. I actually became pretty severely dehydrated and with vomiting and such things. So as I had two bags of fluids going through me, I was laying there thinking, what was my purpose to be here in Nicaragua, because I wasn't able to go out to the villages and that type of thing very much. So, you know, I contemplated and sat there and asked God why he brought me all the way to Nicaragua for me to sit in a room all day. And then Pastor Mike and Don invited me to come in on the pastor training that they were doing for some of the local pastors. And it was at that moment that it was a very humbling experience. I got to see how these pastors were walking and riding bikes, any form of travel that they could basically get for miles to be able to come to this pastor training. And to watch them sit there and take notes with just a fury. I mean, it was just like they were absolutely thirsty for God's word. To be able to see them go on their own little mission trips around to their villages and everything to spread God's word, that was just uplifting to me. So after I've come back to the States, you know, I don't know that I had necessarily an impact on the Nicaraguan people, but they had an impact on me. So I've got a new passion for God and been able to put a foot forward in areas that I didn't feel comfortable with.
My favorite part of the trip was probably just going to the villages and playing with the kids and just watching them laugh and have fun.
It was really fun. Whenever we were driving to the villages, everybody would be screaming and yelling, just running after the villages. And everybody would be running there, all the older kids and all the older people. They would run after that candy, even if someone told them not to. They would still run after that candy. And just, it was really cool to see that. And I gave this little girl a piece of candy. And then she had a little brother that didn't have any candy, and I felt my pockets, and I didn't have any other piece of candy. So that little girl opened the candy, she licked it, and then gave the rest to her.
Well, my God moment for the week probably was getting to play with all the children and meeting all the moms. And even though they were some of the poorest people I had ever met, they were also some of the most loving and happy people I'd ever met. It made me stop and think about my own life and how I need to look for God's blessings every day and be thankful and give back.
Hello, I'm Kevin Frost, and my God moment for the Nicaragua trip was probably just seeing the kids, how happy they were with the smallest things, and meeting new people in a different culture, and taking my family with me and letting Dalton experience it too. That was the biggest thing for me. He's seen how lucky he was when we got home.
When we went into the villages, Oliver and I would play soccer with the teenagers and some of the men in the villages. And there was one particular point when we would have halftime and we would share the gospel, and then we would ask who received Christ, and then we would go back to playing soccer after we had given them the soccer ball. One particular point, a man came up to me that had received Christ and kind of pushed through the crowd of people and stuck out his hand and said, "Thank you," shook my hand, and that was my God moment of the week.
My favorite part of the trip was probably just seeing the kids and how content they are with the little that they have, and just how they're just so ready to hear the gospel and they're so ready to listen, and they're just great kids.
This was such a great trip to Nicaragua, and I had such an incredible time. I was blessed to be able to go with my entire family this time, and that was really made the trip special. One of the moments that stands out in my mind was towards the end of the week, we went out to a village, and we took several local pastors with us to help us. And I had a minute, and I was chatting with one of the pastors there, and I've gotten to know him pretty good over the past few years, and I was talking with him, and I could speak just a little bit of Spanish, and he can speak just a little bit of English, so it's a little comical trying to hear us talk back and forth. But I was introducing my son, Luke, to this pastor, and the pastor walked up, and he put his arm around me and looked at my son and said, your father is my pastor, my brother, and my friend. Man, he was sincere about it, and it really touched my heart, because I've gotten to know him over the past several years and see God work and grow in him, and man, it's just been a great thing to witness. I've learned a lot from him. Hopefully I've been able to teach him a few things through the pastor training that we've done, but it just shows that the impact that we make goes far beyond the week that we are in country. He's continuing to teach and serve the communities and churches there. And really, the impact goes far beyond that for us as well. When we come back here, after spending a week serving and ministering and sharing your faith like that, it gives you a new boldness that you're not scared to share your faith. You're not scared to go out into our community and serve. So it really was just an incredible week, just a true blessing from God.
Pretty neat stories, right? Wasn't that awesome? We've thought about different ways how we could share the trip, and this is the time we tried to do a little bit on video just because it's tough getting everybody here for both services. But you heard a wide variety of experiences there. And what we want to do now is kind of go a little bit deeper and talk a little bit more about some of the things that we experienced. I'm going to have some, Abby... and Luke and Emma, if you guys would come on up, and you guys can share a little bit more about the trip and tell us a little bit more about what you experienced and kind of give us some more detail.
Thanks. We're just going to talk about the separate ministries, and I'm going to talk about the village ministry. What we did was, I think every day, right? We went out to villages. And what the missionary team does down there is we feed them a special extra nourished rice and beans, I guess, with chicken and vegetables. But we feed the whole village. And we also just take time in our separate groups. You know, I was with, like, kind of the teenagers and even some men. And these girls were painting smaller to teenagers, to 20-year-olds' fingernails. And we would just take our special little groups and take time to share the gospel with them. And just as a kind of special story for me, I mentioned it in my God moment, but Oliver is a soccer player. He played at Galax. I've never played soccer before. He's a baseball player. But that was an interesting experience to play with Nicaraguans because they were really good. Because whenever they didn't have soccer balls, but when they got soccer balls, like, you know, they deflate and stuff. But when they got soccer balls, man, they would play and play because that's all they had to do. But anyway, we would play, and I would, the first couple trips, I was just getting exhausted. I was like, Oliver, we got to come up with a new game plan. It's not doing anything. We're just playing with them. And I was like, well, let's just do like a halftime, and then I can rest and we can share the gospel and we can keep on playing. But what we did was we would play, if the village was really good, we would only play to like 5. You know, if they were okay, we would play less because it would take more time for them to score. But anyway, we would do that and we'd share the gospel with them. It was really, really cool because I would say in English, Oliver would translate. So, I don't know, it was really special. But, and then, I would use the soccer ball as a metaphor for salvation. And I was like, you know, salvation is just like a soccer ball. And all you have to do is reach out and take it. It's a free gift. And, you know, they love soccer. So they're like, oh, yeah, I want the soccer ball, you know. So we would give them the soccer ball. And at every village, we had someone profess the name of Christ. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah.
Something really awesome about Because We Care Ministries is the place where we stay in Casa de Shelley, behind it, they call it like the training center. And what they're doing is they're, it's basically just like a massive size garden. And it's tricky down in Nicaragua because you have a rainy season and you have a dry season. And one of the cool things that they're doing in their ministry is training up leaders in each village to just learn about agriculture in order to help sustain the village themselves, as well as like learning about how to, you know, sell it and market it and whatever. And Austin LaRue's Feed by Seed Group is really involved in like this agricultural project. And it's really cool because I actually went down with his team this time, exact time last year. And they would survey like all the pastors or leaders. A lot of times in the villages, the pastors also do a lot of the like farming work or like teaching work. And so when they come in for like the pastor training or whatever, sometimes they'll also couple it with the agriculture teaching as well. And anyway, so when we went last year with Austin's Feed by Seed Group, in every village, they would interview whoever the farmer of the village was and ask a bunch of questions and kind of see like where they're coming from, like where they need to start as far as teaching. Because like in Nicaragua, if you give them a chicken, they're probably going to kill that chicken that night and eat it rather than keep it for eggs. So they just need a lot of teaching in that area. But anyways, so last year, they took a lot of notes. They went and visited a couple of the big farms that are there. And then when I went back this year, I'm not kidding, there has been so much change just within the training center, which I think is really cool, just because, like, Don is always talking about how it's hard to reach somebody spiritually when their belly isn't full. And because then obviously you're just thinking about like your hunger pains and whatever. So, I mean, they're teaching them in so many ways. And that was actually a part of my God moment for the week, was just seeing the progress and all of the different like ministries that they get to hit down there. That being one of them. Is they're not just handing out food in the villages, they're also teaching them how to grow their own food and just teaching them sustainability, you know. But my God moment for me during that week was, first of all, just seeing all of the different ways that they're impacting people through their ministry. And even on our like short-term trips, I know that it's impacting the people down there. And like Mike and Don Gillette, who's the Because We Care like leader guy, they did the pastor training, and it was evident which villages had the good pastors, because those villages were cleaner, well kept, and it just made such a huge difference. And so you know that in training those pastors and devoting their time, that you actually are making a difference. And that was just huge. And also, one other thing was, it was so cool to watch people get out of their comfort zone. There was like probably half, well, I don't know if it was half, but quite a few people on the trip shared the gospel for the first time. And people who hadn't, like, it was cool to watch Emma and Amelia, and they were just like, share the gospel as though they had done it like 100 times, and they were really comfortable with it. And just seeing, people serve the Lord and watch people in their environment and kind of who they attach to. And, yeah, it was just cool to see growth. And that was my God moment.
One morning we got the opportunity to go to the special needs cult in San Mateo. And so we loaded up the truck, and when we got there, kids just started running out and came up and hugged us, and they were welcomed us there. And most of those kids are either blind or deaf or have some other special need. And so it was just sweet to see them run out and welcome us so much. So we got them in a big room and shared a Bible story and did a craft with them. And each of us were able to help the kids one-on-one. That was one of the advantages of having a big team. So we got to spend time with one kid, and then we got them in a big circle. And we played games and sang songs with them, and they were smiling and laughing. And it was neat to see that. One girl we met there, she was 16, and she had been competing in some races. And so she was talking to Pam and telling her how she was wanting to compete in a marathon and train for it, but she didn't have any running shoes. So when we were there, we got to meet her, and we were talking to her about that. And so when we got home, we saw Dawn had posted a picture on Facebook of her with a brand new pair of running shoes and a running outfit. So that was sweet to see her with her. She looked so happy. So,
so appreciate you guys sharing stories. And, man, it was just something interesting that nobody mentioned. It was hot. Not just a little, okay? I mean, I sweat more that week than I mean, it was humid. It was hot. I mean, it was probably 95 every day with humidity. Just you walk outside and just are drenched immediately. Even Oliver, who grew up in Tijuana, who he went with us. He goes to First Baptist, and he went with us, and he said, man, Mexico is nothing like this. It was hot. And so that made it tough, because it was everything we did, from going out to the villages to working on the farm, it drained you so quickly, being in the sun and being in that much heat. And you heard Josh's story. He's got a unique testimony from going to Nicaragua. There's not too many people that have gone to Nicaragua on a mission trip and gotten IVs from a hung from a broomstick. We took good care of him, but it was hot, and so the team really did a good job of working together. You can hear how many people shared their faith. Just boldly. We would get a group of, and for some reason, I don't know why, when we're around our friends and groups of people here, we don't do that, do we, as much? When you go overseas or go on a mission field like this, it's really easy to don't worry about what anybody else thinks. And so to us, a successful mission trip is not that we go there and share the gospel and that people are saved. I mean, that's great, and we want that to happen. But it's successful when people come back here and are comfortable in sharing their faith. Abby mentioned some of the things that have taken place and some of the changes, and we've helped with there's a medical clinic that we helped build, and to see it fully functioning now and working and seeing people ministered to through that medical clinic was awesome. There's the farm that they talked about, and seeing all the people being trained. I've said before that the lifespan of a chicken there is usually till supper time. And to see them learn how to, raise chicken and goats and shoats and all these things. It was unique to see all that. There's the farm. There's the pastor training. And that's where I've really spent the majority of my time the last few trips, the last three times I've been there, is with the pastor training. We minister to 30 pastors in Honduras on Monday and Tuesday, and 30 pastors in Nicaragua on Wednesday and Thursday. And what we're doing is just taking them through pastoral leadership, Bible training, how to preach, how to teach, how to lead their churches and serve their communities. And over the 3 years I've been doing that, seeing the change in them has been just absolutely awesome. So we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. We'll be back sometime. So if what you see up there on that screen, what you've heard these people share, if that interests you, go ahead now. Start getting things in place. Get your passport. It's the first step, right? Get your passport. Start raising money. Start setting some aside. You've got plenty of time. We've usually go a couple times a year, so there will be another opportunity for you to go. But just start preparing right now. We appreciate your prayers for the trip. And we just had so many good experiences. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We've been in this series about the Sermon on the Mount, about how our perspective has changed, how everything changes when we realize who Jesus is and why he came. That's really the story of the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous teaching of Jesus. John Stott said, and I've shared this a couple times as we've gone through the series, that it's the best known part of the teaching of Jesus, but arguably the least understood and certainly the least obeyed. So what we have here in the Sermon on the Mount is something that we're very familiar with. You've heard it, maybe you've read it, and you say, oh man, this is good stuff. But to so many people, we read it, and it's kind of a historical account of what Jesus said, and we don't take it and apply it to our own life and say, this is how we should live. And really, the starting point for understanding this Sermon on the Mount is understanding he wrote this spoke this to his disciples. These are believers that are gathered around that are listening to him. He is challenging them on how to live for Christ. And so when we read it, right, as followers of Christ, as disciples, as people who are following after Jesus, and this applies to us. Don't read it as just a historical narrative. Read it as this applies to me, to my life. I read somewhere that this is the manifesto of Jesus. I mean, it's who he wanted his followers to be and what he wanted his followers to do. And so when we read that, it's the kind of living, it's this kind of character, the kind of conduct that we're to have as the people of God. And, you know, and as we read these last two verses, verse 28 and 29, let me just ask you, are you a student? Are you a learner, a disciple, a follower of Christ? I want you to see how the people responded to what Jesus had taught. And we've, like I said, the last 11 weeks, we've kind of built up to this. Verse 28 says this: when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They were amazed. These were the people who had been around Jesus, and yet they heard him. They recognized he had authority, an authority very different from the authority of man. But they were amazed. We don't get amazed very much, do we? You know, do you realize, like watching that video about Nicaragua, one day we are sitting in our living room here in Galax, Virginia. The next day, we're in a remote village in Nicaragua. That's amazing. That's crazy. That in one day's time, we can go from right here where we are, around the world, into a remote part of the world and share the gospel. That's and we just thought, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Y'all got on a plane, went and flew a few thousand miles. Yeah, it's normal. We've lost our sense of amazement. And I think sometimes when we read God's word, we've lost our sense of amazement. We read it and it just doesn't grab us like it should. We read it and we read it and we think, oh, that's good. But we don't get amazed very much. I want to share with you just a few of the main points we've gone through. And I want you to think about these. Are you amazed by these things? I just picked out a few of the topics we've talked about. The first, what we have learned in this series, the first thing is that personal heart change is a necessary first step toward personal life change. Your heart has got to change if you want your life to change. It starts with your heart. When we read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, they're about attitudes of our heart. They're about characteristics of who we are on the inside. And before we can change our behavior, we've got to focus on our heart. So right here, we see, again, are you amazed by that? Because we focus so many times on the externals and forget our heart. And if you want to change your life, you've got to change your heart. It starts with putting your faith in Christ. Here's the next thing that we learned, that being religious is not enough. There's a lot of people that will tell you, you need to be religious. You need to go to church. You need to give money. You need to pray. You need to do this. You need to serve. You need, and they'll give you a long list of things to do. And they're religious things, right? Good things. But that's not good enough. It is not enough. Being a good person will never get you into the kingdom of God. You can serve. You can go to church every day of the week. It is not enough. We can never do enough good things to make God accept us. Why? Because there's sin in our life. There's sin. We are characterized by sin. We have all fallen short of God's glory. There has to be another way. And that way is faith in Jesus Christ. The next thing we learned was that kingdom character leads us to kingdom conduct. In other words, our character, who we are when nobody's looking. That's so important, right? Our character. I see so many people fail because their conduct outpaces their character. They get out here and they serve and they can talk the talk. But while they're growing and doing and all this stuff, their character is not being developed. Character is important. Who we are when we're not, when nobody's looking. The next is that God's perspective of righteous living goes far beyond our actions. Again, this whole Sermon on the Mount, we see all these thoughts being developed. That God's perspective of righteous living, it goes far beyond our actions. God is concerned with our heart. He's concerned with our desires, our motivation. And that leads us to the next point that we learned, that our internal motivation is just as important as our external action. What's our motivation for doing what is good, doing what is right? We see all these things kind of come together. And then last week we talked about it's the gospel. It's the gospel that allows you to make the right choice, the choice that brings life. all of these things are still relevant for Christians today. The words of this sermon are just as relevant today as they were when the disciples heard them. These words are written just as much to us. And so I challenge you now, as we've gone through the sermon, go back. I hope you've been reading it as we've gone through it, to read it one more time, just to keep going back to it. There's a couple of verses I read last week, verse 24 and verse 25. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." And so when we read that, I don't know about you, but as we've gone through this series, have you been looking at your own heart and saying, okay, what needs to change in my life? And that's really the final question that I have for you today. I don't have a long message. We just had two verses to cover, and it's just about the authority of Christ, how people are amazed at it. We read, if you keep going in chapter 8, we see that he came down from the mountain, and the first person that approaches him is a leper and says, okay, he recognizes the authority of Jesus. So how do we respond? How do we respond after we come down off the mountain of listening to Jesus here? How do we respond? Do we respond in amazement? Do we respond with recognizing the authority of who Jesus is? My question for you is simply, if you look in your bulletin, it's what steps do you need to take to align your life more closely with this sermon from Jesus? What needs to change in your life? And again, not just behavior, right? Go back to everything we've talked about, your heart. First, do you have faith in Christ? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? That's where it all starts. That's when we are giving a new heart. We are a new creation in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That exchange that takes place, that moment when we are changed to have a new heart. That's the first step. After that, it's letting Christ work in your life to develop you, to make you more like Christ. And I'll tell you what's exciting is over the next few weeks, we're going to jump in a new series about how we can get in a rhythm of listening to God and doing what he says, of how we can get in a rhythm of connecting with him, of hearing his voice, of being able to understand and know and do his will, how we can truly abide in Christ. And so the next few weeks, we're doing a series called In Rhythm, and it's just going to be about getting in that spiritual rhythm of being able to hear from God. This morning, though, that's your question. What needs to change in your life? Luke and Abby are going to come back up as we close this morning. And they're going to lead us in a song again. And it was neat having them on our trip with us to Nicaragua. We had Luke and Abby, and my Luke brought his mandolin. You should see him in Nicaragua. They had never seen a mandolin before. But they led worship for us. And it was really neat to see them. And they're going to be sharing a song partly in Spanish for you here too. So just kind of give you a heads up on that. But this morning, as we close out, I just want you to bow your heads right now. We've covered a lot of ground through this sermon series. We've covered a lot of ground this morning, just talking about the mission trip and what was learned. But right now, as we bow our heads, as we turn our hearts to God and just start asking ourselves, what needs to change in me? What is in my life? What is in my heart? What is in my character that needs refining? Is there pride? Is there jealousy? Is there envy? Is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? Whatever it is, right now is your chance to let go. Right now is your chance to start developing that inner character that will allow us to live these words of Jesus, that will allow us to not respond in anger, but respond supernaturally with love. The character of Christ that is formed in us will allow us to truly be like Christ in what we say and what we do. Lord, this morning we just want to thank you for your words. We want to thank you for this sermon that challenges us so clearly to be like Christ, to live like Christ, to love like Christ, to minister like Christ. Lord, may you just develop in us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness so that we can follow after you, so that we can be excited about doing your work, not out of obligation, not out of guilt, but we can be excited about serving you because of what you did on the cross, that you forgave our sins. You gave us a new heart. You gave us a new life. And for that, we owe you our everything, our life, our breath, everything that is within us, we owe to you. Lord, I'm thankful for this mission team that served so obediently and served without complaining, that just went and served and ministered to the people there. May you just continue to bless them through that experience and work in their lives so that they can be more bold in their faith for you. Lord, we just thank you this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we all pray. God's people said, amen. As we close, you guys can stand up this morning. I'm going to be over here to the side. If you want to pray, if you've got your response card, you can let us know of any prayer requests, any questions you have. One small correction from our announcements. The parade starts at 1:30. So if you want to help with that on the 4th of July, come at 12:30. I just noticed that before we came up. So right now, though, is our time. Let's just respond to God. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place without surrendering to Him. I'll be over here.
struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power. Father God, we thank you for that truth, and we thank you that you're holy, and we thank you that you can wash us clean of all the junk that's in our lives, God. And I just ask that every day we would be reminded of what you did, and that we would take up our crosses and follow you, Lord, and that we would remember that it doesn't matter where you are in the world, somebody around you needs Jesus. And I just ask that you would help us show that to people this week, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.